You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Marvel Universe. Welcome back to another episode of Earth Station MCU. My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and we've had a pretty busy week, actually. We've had a good bit of news, we've had a trailer drop, and Daredevil did happen to come out a couple of days ago as well. And we've got another good episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to talk about. So how goes it with you, John?
It's going pretty well. You know, I'm feeling full of freedom at the moment because I'm wearing a Captain America outfit. I borrowed this from my friend Robbie because my boss has been on to me to be a superhero for our town's Easter event.
Interesting.
And so with the Vision not quite ready to go back into service, I borrowed this from my friend so I can be Captain America instead.
Awesome. And that's very, very patriotic and everything. So that works out well.
I'm sure the kids are going to love it.
That's awesome. You get the shield and everything?
I don't have the shield. I've got the shield backpack, but I don't think that's really going to work with this costume.
Fair enough.
I'm just going to tell kids that the shield is being worked on, being repaired by Tony right now.
That sounds good. All right. Awesome. Well, I know you and I have both been mainlining a good bit of Daredevil the last couple of days.
Yeah. It's been quite impressive. You know, there were, of course, rumors and fan speculation and fan desiring of a Frank Castle Punisher show.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think it really needs to happen.
Yeah, I mean, although it's almost like he's got equal billing for a lot of these episodes. They're as much about him as they are about Murdoch and Foggy there. So
right, which is one of the great things about the about Daredevil as a series.
Mm-hmm.
Over these two seasons, is that it's been very good focusing on the antagonists as much as on the protagonists.
Right, absolutely. And I know there was, I think it's the third episode, there's one of the early episodes, not that we're going to get into it too much, but mm-hmm. where like all of the main characters get to have a really cool moment where they, you know, talk somebody down off the ledge or mm-hmm. do something really cool.
Yeah, Foggy really stepped up his game this season.
He kind of had to, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we'll be doing an episode on that eventually. But yes, I am loving it. I don't know if I'm enjoying it as much as I did the first season, just because mm-hmm. it was so new. But there's just so much going on this season for Daredevil. It's just like there's just like they definitely need to have more spin-offs just with these characters because in more seasons just because there's so much going on there.
But they could. I mean, and so far I think they're doing a good job of making us kind of forget everything that came before, from Ben Affleck to Jennifer Garner
to the
half a dozen guys who have played the Punisher before mm-hmm. John Bernthal.
Yeah, he is the definitive for me at this point. But anywho, we did have a few other things coming out and coming up this week. So at the end of Daredevil, we ended up with a Luke Cage trailer.
Ah, yes, a nice little teaser trailer where he gets shot at and remarks about how he hates having to replace his clothes all the time.
Right, exactly. And, mm-hmm. and that's awesome because there's, you know, just because I'm glad that they've got that there because it's reminding us that there's more goodness coming in this world from this same bunch of writers and directors and showrunners and things.
Oh,
so
totally.
So yeah, that's gonna be awesome. And I think did we talk about a release date for that last time?
We might have, but they definitely confirmed with this teaser trailer that
mm-hmm.
it is going to be September 30th.
Yep, sounds good. Yeah, I remember we did talk about that because it was a little bit earlier than Jessica Jones had dropped before.
Mm-hmm.
But that's nice that it's getting spread out pretty well.
Definitely, and we got more news on the Netflix front as well. With
indeed,
Marvel released just a little kind of a teaser image. With a little, you know, from the desk of
mm-hmm.
While You Were Out notice
mm-hmm.
to Joy Meacham saying simply, who is Danny Rand?
Exactly. So, and Joy Meacham is a comics character, right?
Joy Meacham is. She is, of course, associated with Danny. She was in a situation where she believed that her father had been killed by Iron Fist when he'd actually been killed by another bad guy, kind of swore vengeance upon Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when she discovers that he's not really the bad guy, ends up helping him out and actually becoming a part of Rand Industries.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah. I think that, I think that it's great that they're giving us these little teasers. Because a lot of the time, you know, they would, you know, there would be a significant break in between when we would get one batch
right.
of information and the next or something, and I like that they're kind of linking all of these things together right off the bat.
Right, and of course there's still the possibility that we might see Finn Jones in the Luke Cage series,
yes.
Maybe probably towards the end, but of course that was another thing that was confirmed by Marvel, both in their teaser as well as being confirmed by Jeff Loeb, that Finn Jones is going to be playing this character.
Yes, yes. And that was, I believe, in that tweet that went out. The tweet also included a link that wasn't working at first. Now it is, that said Finn Jones to star in Marvel's Iron Fist. So yay! I'm happy to see all that
yes.
moving along. There's just...
Yeah, as a fan of the comics series, especially in the new one,
mm-hmm.
Power Man and Iron Fist, which has a great local South Carolina talent on it, and Sanford Green as the artist.
Mm-hmm.
It's really something I'm definitely looking forward to, and I really want to see the interaction between Mike Coulter and Finn Jones and see if it is just as almost like vitriolic best
mm-hmm.
bloods as it is in the comics.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, I think that, and I think that they're doing a good job, again, not knowing the comic side of things, but, you know, I guess as far as Daredevil goes, do you feel like they're doing, they're really capturing the spirit of the comics in what they're doing with the Netflix series?
I think so. Daredevil has had that grim, gritty crime feel to it. Jessica Jones has definitely had the noirish
yeah.
feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling that Luke Cage is definitely going to be a street level hero.
Mm-hmm.
And Finn Jones's Iron Fist is going to bring in that kind of the mystical quality while also kind of being, you know, white bread with powers situation.
Yeah.
Which is very much what Danny is like in the comics is,
mm-hmm.
as heroic as he is, he can also kind of be like a spastic white boy.
Yeah, and I think that in the stuff that I've been reading, I think that it would be an interesting contrast to look at him versus Tony Stark in terms of both being, you know, rich guys with lots of money and power mm-hmm. and things like that, and white guys, who
yeah.
then end up having a very different approach to how they get basically superpowers. But and they seem like very, very different people. So let's see what else we got going on. There have been the Russos have made some comments. Oh, where did I go? I know I had that right here a second ago.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the little video?
Yes, yes. You want to tell us a little bit about that? That was kind of funny.
Neat. They gave us a little kind of cell phone camera video from the editing bay
mm-hmm.
where apparently they also edited Frozen. So Disney has given them full use of the resources for this movie.
Nice.
Yeah. And we got to see kind of a little bit of the boardroom scene that we see in the trailers where General Ross is kind of explaining this is a new situation. You can't run off like and be cowboys anymore. And so we get to see a little bit of everybody. We even get to see Vision wearing a suit.
Yes, that was very weird.
Yeah, so you know, now I've got a costume to put on for the Avengers Ball this year to go along with my friends.
Nice. Yeah, and
And
that, you can sort of combine the Coulson outfit and the Vision outfit into one.
I'll have to get a better look at whatever color the suit that he's wearing in the ship or in the movie, but you know, it'll be exciting, and but I'll still have to do like my hands and my face and makeup and all that
Oh, sure, but
fun stuff.
I'm sure. Well, I think we've talked about it, but there's Liquisette and lots of good things. I'm an
Right.
old hand when it comes to putting on makeup that lasts for a very, very, very long time.
Yes.
But yeah, so we got that going on. Yeah, there was the Vision in a suit thing, which was pretty cool. There's news has just come up that Titus Welliver's character is going to be coming back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a few weeks.
Yes, we have the return of Agent Blake.
Yes, so we haven't really seen him since he got the crap beat out of him a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah, you know, it's ever since they had that storming of the health care facility that went wrong, he's just kind of been off the grid.
Yeah,
Of course,
and
you know, we first got him in the Item 47 short.
When they were, that was the one in the diner, right? Where they were just sitting and talking.
No, that's the one where it's after the events of Avengers.
Oh, yes. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and he like Sitwell ends
Oh,
up
that's right,
capturing
yes.
two people who have gotten a hold of a Chitauri weapon,
Right,
and he
yes.
brings ends up bringing one of them to Agent Blake for training.
Right, that's right. Yeah, I was confusing that with the the one that led into Thor, I think, that was it was Coulson and Sitwell in a diner anyway.
Right, yeah, that was a funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer.
Right, exactly. But anyway, yeah, it's interesting because he kind of got taken out right before Civil War, and I when they said he was coming back, I'm wondering if he's coming back as S.H.I.E.L.D. or as Hydra.
We don't know yet. Nobody's really said what his role is going to be in this episode.
Because that was before the big reveal happened. So I'm curious to know because it seems like if he was on the good guy's side, then Coulson would have heard about it. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to look forward to. I don't think he's really going to turn out to be a bad guy, if only for the fact that I feel like we've been down that road already.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But yeah, it'll be interesting, and that's another cool thing to look forward to.
Definitely.
And in not just toy news, but merchandising news in general, I am very happy to see that they are doing a big push to have not only a lot of Black Widow merchandise, but
Yeah.
also a lot of Black Panther merchandise is going to be coming out of Civil War, which
Oh,
I think is
definitely.
awesome.
It totally is, and it's giving lots more kids a chance to really portray a superhero that they can look at and say that's me, that's somebody like me up on the
Right.
screen.
Exactly. And that's, that ties in with the whole thing with, Where's Widow and everything. And it's
Right.
like the only toys that it's harder to find copies of than Black Widow and Scarlet Witch are if you want to find something for War Machine or for Nick Fury or anything like that, or Falcon. So,
Yeah, I mean, I guess it kind of makes more sense for Fury. I mean, you don't see as much of the Shield folks.
True.
You don't see much of him. You don't see much of Hill. You don't see much of Coulson. Toys R Us has a pack has an action figure pack that includes all three of them. But that's really about it.
Right. Yeah. So
You know, where and you know, what would we really do? The Nick Fury action eye patch.
That's true. That's true.
Here you go. Here you go, kid. Here's a turtleneck and an eye patch. Go out and, be the director of SHIELD.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. But I think that they're buying the clue finally, that
Oh, yeah.
that there's a much broader audience for merchandise, whether it's t-shirts or costumes or toys or whatever, and that
Absolutely.
it's
And, at the same time, we're seeing a lot more Falcon as well.
yes.
Falcon has a Funko Pop that's come out. He also has one of those Titan figures that goes along with Black Panther, I think, has one as well,
And the
and
Lego
Captain
one is really cool, right?
America.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely enjoy it, and I almost kind of wish there'd been a Winter Soldier version as well, but I'll take what I can get.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, those are all good things that I'm very happy to see happening, and getting more representation overall. And what else? I think that may be it for this week.
Let's see, what else did we
Oh,
have?
there's a they talked a little bit about Spidey in Civil War,
Yep.
but it's one of these things where it's like they talked a little bit about it, but they didn't really tell us anything. It's like, oh, he'll have a unique role in the conflict. Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, what else are we expecting?
Exactly. It's not, but I mean, it's interesting because that means that it's, and I didn't really think it was going to be, but that it's not going to be a straight, oh, he's totally on Tony's side thing. But it's also not going to be like he's a double agent either. So.
Right. Well, in the comics, he started off being on Tony's side and kind of being talked into registration. And in the comics, he actually unmasked himself at a press conference, which gets undone later by some deal with the demon Mephisto and blah, 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 and stuff that we'd rather not talk about. Because,
Because retcon.
why, Joe? Why?
Why'd you go there?
But he kind of comes to realize that Tony is getting more and more extreme in his views and in his methods in trying to take down Cap, so he ends up switching sides. So we don't know yet if that's really going to happen here, or if the battle at the airport's the only time that we see Peter for the movie.
Right, exactly. Although they have been talking about the idea that Tony made his suit for him, or gave him some modifications or something, but
Right, and that certainly seems to play out in some things that we've seen with the suit already, in stories that we've heard that Tony develops the web shooters instead of Peter. You can see kind of the telescopic lenses on the mask, so entirely possible.
Yeah, very, very cool. I'm looking forward to it. I do feel bad. There's a bunch of memes that went around last week or so about sad Cap for being like, my trailer comes out and no one talks about me, just Spidey.
My favorite was the parroting Captain Phillips, where it's like,
Oh,
"I guess
yes!
I'm the captain now."
Yes, exactly. That was awesome. But and then I guess one last thing to wrap up and kind of bridge from our news to about non-Shield stuff over to Shield. This is not a spoiler, guys. This is something that becomes very apparent very early on. But we have a group that had been first shown to us in Shield that shows up in Daredevil with that biker gang.
Oh yeah, the Dogs of Hell.
Yes.
Our viewers or listeners, I should say, might remember the Dogs of Hell showing up in the episode with Lorelai coming to Earth from Asgard, and that's actually the biker gang that she encounters and enthralls until she decides that Ward is a bit more of a valuable boy toy to carry along with her.
Exactly. But yeah, they end up playing a very important part in a couple of the early episodes of Daredevil. So always makes me happy anytime you see things crossing over from one series or whatever to another. And we'll but
As they
we'll
say, it's all connected.
it is. It very much is. And now I want to talk about all the other connections, but we've got a really good episode of Shield to talk about. So we will save
Yes,
that
and we'll
for
just have to talk
another
about
Indeed.
Daredevil later.
Indeed, indeed, we will. So, all right, we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will be talking about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Inside Man.
4 years, Dr. Geek has toiled in obscurity, trying to realize the future through the science of applied geekdom. Pressured to prove his theories or lose funding, Dr. Geek has now opened the doors of his amazing laboratory to public participation and public collaboration. With the help of his partner, Mr. Flask, a test subject known as Mr. Creature, and a computer called the Deus Ex Machine, Dr. Geek conducts an investigation into the world of tomorrow, creating the future by discussing it.
Do you want me to turn down the oxygen in the labyrinth?
Oh boy, the things I get to do for science!
That's not a good sound.
And why is this sticky?
Join the discussion at www.drgeeklab.com.
Welcome back, everybody, and now we're going to be talking about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Inside Man, and a lot of fun stuff, and I admit, totally did not see the twist coming.
With Talbot?
Yeah, with Talbot and with Malik walking in.
Yeah, I mean, that was certainly kind of a moment. Unfortunately, a friend of mine unintentionally ruined it for me. She figured I was watching at the same time she was. And she's like, Talbot! Like, thanks.
Yeah.
I wasn't watching. I was going to wait until tomorrow, but now I'm going to find a website where I can watch it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that just super blew me away because and it was funny because I kept thinking all through that and I don't know if Talbot really is that much of an insensitive ass or if he was trying to give Phil a clue or whatever, but man,
a little bit of both.
Yeah, it's just that there were so many things that he said where I was just like, oh my god, did you actually say that?
Why in God's name would President Ellis choose you to represent us abroad?
Exactly. I mean, it is, what a mess. But yeah, so I totally did not see that coming, and it's not often that TV shows get the drop on me that hardcore. So I was very, very pleased. And I mean, the thing is, the name of the episode was Inside Man, and so you're looking at all the other delegates and thinking, okay, well, it's got to be one of them, and thinking,
or you're looking at Crusher Creel,
right?
Thinking that maybe something is up with him.
Right, of course. And again, that's something where it was like, okay, the last time that we saw him was when he was murdering Xena, right? What the hell's her
name?
Lucy Lawless's character.
Lucy Lawless.
Yep. So he had kind of dropped off the radar, and so of course when they see him, they're going to assume that he's a bad guy. And
because he picks up an obelisk, and you know, same thing happens to him, happens to everybody else, but apparently he got better.
Right. Exactly. And so that was neat. They had some really good effects, I thought, in the thing with him transforming in the fight in the garage. So that was really good. So that was super cool. But yeah, I mean, the big thing is just, I was totally caught by surprise by the big reveal.
Now, do you think he's really, gone to the side of the angels now? Because at first, we think he's going to attack Talbot. Then he turns out to be Talbot's bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
Then Talbot, of course, is, you know, betraying Coulson. So it's like, wait, is Creel still a bad guy? But then Creel comes and saves him.
Right. It's obviously confusing, you know, and it's very hard to say in that situation. You know, like, for example, one of the things that I was thinking partway through, once we see that Talbot is a bad guy, at least for the duration of this episode, I was assuming
not a bad guy by his own choice,
right? But he's an adversary for this episode, at least for part of it. I kind of assumed that Creel had just been given to him, yes, to guard him, but also, you know, to that Creel was working for Malik, and that
Creel's kind of a kind of a minder, so to speak, to
right,
the
exactly.
British slang term.
Exactly. That he was kind of the, you know, person to keep an eye on Talbot, not just for Talbot's safety, but to make sure that Talbot was still doing what Malik said. But then
right.
he lets them out, so...
Yeah, I mean, he has a couple, cavalry moments, not, you know, ancient maid cavalry,
right.
but kind of da-da-da-da-da-da cavalry.
Yeah.
Because he rescues Hunter, and then he rescues
yep.
Talbot and Coulson.
Yep, absolutely. And that was super cool. So
it's a complete 180 from who he is in the comics, where he's essentially just a super-powered guy who loves to rob people and, you know, battle Thor.
So yeah, so it was that was interesting. Again, I was really impressed with the effects. I thought that they did a good job with the fight scenes and everything with him. So that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny because Adrian Pasdar, who's Talbot on this, is also
yeah.
one of the main characters on Colony, which is
yeah.
a series that I'm enjoying a lot. And you really get to see his range and how different those characters can be. And I always think that's funny to see, you know, the way, and again, Talbot in this episode, it was just like, oh my God, how can you even say that?
And you can also think about like him in Heroes versus
oh, yeah.
this versus Colony. And he is very much a great actor.
Yeah. He's very versatile.
There's even like I was flipping through and I saw some old vampire movie that he was in.
Huh. Interesting.
Like, wait, what? That's him?
That's awesome.
And of course he's Natalie Maines' husband, but that's a different matter altogether.
Oh, I did not know that. That's pretty cool.
Yes, they are married.
Excellent, excellent. So we've got that as sort of the main plot line going on. We've got Daisy and Lincoln.
Yes.
And Daisy.
The belligerent sexual tension that finally comes to a head in this episode.
Yes, yes, indeed. That was. I mean, we saw it coming certainly, but that
yeah.
was a big thing.
Even fighting over whether certain people should be vaccinated for inhumanism.
Yes, that was...
doesn't seem to spoil their bow chicka wow wow at the end.
True, absolutely, and but that's a really good point about the idea of having
mm-hmm.
a vaccine, and you know that gets into the whole thing that we've seen explored in the X-Men movies a lot, in terms
yes,
of you know, is this abnormal? Is it better than normal? Is it, you know, just
yeah.
natural or what?
Yeah, that gets explored in the third X-Men movie,
mm-hmm.
Which. Is one of the movies that fortunately Days of Future Past pretty much had to erase.
Yes.
But it comes from a storyline actually by Joss Whedon,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
where the same issue is debated, is mutancy a disease?
Mm-hmm.
Is this vaccine a cure? Is it going to be mandated upon people
right.
who develop powers?
And that's a really interesting conversation to be having as Civil War comes up too.
Right.
I don't know. I kind of doubt that they're going to go ahead and pick up the idea of a vaccine and have it in the movie. But with it having
right.
been put out there, that's an interesting thing. Like, you know, either
right.
register or, you know, take the reversal cure thing. So.
But of course, right now S.H.I.E.L.D. is the only one who has it,
right.
and of course Daisy is very concerned about it getting into the hands of somebody like Ross, who probably would use it to depower people.
Exactly. I'll be interested to see how much and what they tie in with Civil War, and I hope it's more than we had for the last one. I hope it's more like more
right.
like what we got from second Captain America movie, Winter Soldier. Yeah,
Winter Soldier.
Exactly.
As opposed to Thor: The Dark World.
Well,
which
was completely,
you know,
nothing.
A cleanup
exactly.
operation.
Exactly. But so yes, we had that going on, and we had some really cool stuff going on with Ward, which is interesting. I was wondering.
Cool / icky.
Yes, absolutely. I thought it was it was interesting because it was like, okay, we know that, you know, from what we saw with a Hive inhabiting Will on the planet, you know, he's inside a corpse, but there's not very much that he can, you know, that he can do because, you know, because the body is still going to be decaying no matter what. And I was thinking, how long are they really going to be able to keep Brett Dalton on the show if he's just going to keep decaying? Because he's pretty, he was pretty beat up and scary looking. But no, they found...
Apparently there's a way around that.
There's a way to make him back and hot again. So thank heavens for that.
God knows how long that's going to last, though. And
oh, sure.
Yeah, to get to the hotness stage, you have to get to him dripping with goo.
Well, there's goo, and there's also the death of what was it, 6 or 8 people, I think?
It was like 5 people.
Was it 5 people? But still.
Yeah.
Still.
And it disturbs Lucio and Gaera,
mm-hmm.
because you can kind of see them outside the room hearing all the screams,
yeah.
and they're very visibly uncomfortable with this.
But we still don't really know at this point what it is that Ward did to them. You know, with the whole
yeah.
spinning sand thing, if he's in some way controlling them. Obviously, they're not just, you know, obedient zombies or anything.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's something like his power is to make you a true believer or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
That could be.
You know, it's kind of a Mola Ram sort of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's cool. It'll be interesting to see... see where that goes. I think it's that they also cemented the fact that he can't inhabit an inhuman, which is interesting. It has to be just a plain vanilla person, but that
right.
plain vanilla people are also food. So,
yeah, you can be my new host buddy, or you can be lunch.
Indeed, indeed. So yeah, a lot of cool things going on there. I'm interested to see kind of where it goes from here. You know, we did have some good fight scenes also with at the summit for
yeah.
May and Bobby and everybody. So that was
of course, you know, nobody being able to bring in weapons doesn't prevent Hunter from being able to sneak them in anyway.
Well, of course, because he's Hunter, and that's just how he
yes.
rolls. But yeah, that was pretty awesome. But.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting in seeing what the fallout from that is, because obviously one of the Asian countries being represented, I'm not sure
mm-hmm.
Which country that guy was from, but the guy who flies off with Malik at the end.
I believe he was Russia.
Was he Russia? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
He was the Russian delegate.
Okay, cool. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yes, you're absolutely right. So that will be interesting to see because, you know, that adds in all kinds of extra geopolitical issues there if Russia is basically on Hydra's side.
Yeah, I mean, although we need to give the guy some credit
oh, sure.
and figure that maybe he doesn't know Malik is Hydra.
Oh, no, absolutely. But I'm saying that if Malik gets influence... in Russia
mm-hmm.
and influence over the Russian government, like he seems to have influence all over the place, and with, you know,
yeah.
the amount of money that he has to throw around, you know, having that in with the government means that, you know, that's a very big chunk of the world,
mm-hmm.
and a very big chunk of the world's arsenal as well.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see what the fallout from that is.
Yeah. The thing that kind of more interested me was the Australian delegate.
Yeah.
Because if something that got pointed out to me later,
mm-hmm.
Especially with the Inhuman that she had in captivity being experimented on,
right. mm-hmm.
is that he actually ties in as a Secret Warriors character.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You see his name apparently on one of the documents that she has with her,
mm-hmm.
which is Eden Farsi.
Hmm.
And in the comics, Eden Farsi is an Aboriginal character from Australia.
That's a weird name for an Aboriginal person, but
I didn't.
I know.
Create it.
I know.
But he comes from the comics. He specifically comes from the Secret Warriors series
mm-hmm.
that also had Daisy and a number of other superpowered people working for Nick Fury.
Mm-hmm.
And his superhero name is called Manifold. And,
hmm.
sorry, he's actually able to open up kind of like he's like a teleporter, but he can transport other people as well as himself across great distances, whether it's, you know, across the country, across the world, or even across galaxies.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's very cool. And, it wasn't lost on me the fact that they were basically talking about making, like, a penal colony for Inhumans. And it's like, oh, no, we have the person from Australia here, which is how Australia got started. Yep.
Good eye.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Anything else from this episode you want to touch on? Any other Easter eggs or anything?
We saw at the very end that, Bobby and Hunter are in the in the belly of the plane, and we've gotten stories building up to what's going to be their eventual break into Marvel's Most Wanted. Mm-hmm. That apparently what happens to cut them loose from S.H.I.E.L.D. is an assassination that they get blamed for,
which they very possibly do, but
yeah, and they certainly seem to be headed to that path now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if this Russian guy is the one who ends up getting killed, whether it's their fault or not, they end up getting the blame for it, and that spins off into the new show.
Right, and that makes sense, and it would make sense why they would be Marvel's Most Wanted at that point. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that'll be very cool. All right, cool. Well, then I guess it is time to do ratings. So on a scale of 1 to 5 shields, 1 being terrible and 5 being best episode ever, where would you place this episode?
I'll go with a number 4 because, we have the betrayal from Talbot. We have the kind of the heel face turn from Creel. Mm-hmm. Malik suddenly showing up and throwing a wrench in everyone's plans. Mm-hmm. And then the setup, I think, for Marvel's Most Wanted and some of the Easter eggs. And, of course, Daisy and Lincoln finally, getting themselves together, so to speak.
Right.
I think that really rounded out this episode and made it good and makes me look forward to the next few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go 4.5 on this because, like I said, I was totally surprised by what happened with Creel. I was totally surprised with Talbot. And that it takes something for me to be as engrossed enough in an episode that I don't see things like that coming. So I was very, very excited and impressed by this episode. The one down thing is, yeah, it's nice that Lincoln and Daisy got together, but I'm not watching this show to see people sucking face, That's the romance plot lines are like the
I don't
least...
mind watching good looking people suck face, okay?
Fair enough. But that is my least the thing that interests me the least about this show. But I know they have to go with the WB model of guys taking their shirt off once in a while in order to keep people watching, I guess.
You're going to complain about guys taking their shirts off once in a while?
Yeah, it's all right. I don't like for that to be a big thing.
Can somebody rewind this back to the point where she was talking about Brett Dalton?
There is that. Okay, valid. Valid. Fair enough. All right, fine. But
let's go to the videotape.
Indeed. Let's go to the instant replay. But anyway, I thought this was an excellent episode, and like you said, it really has me excited about seeing what's going to be coming up, what they're going to be doing going forward, and how this is all going to connect into the larger Marvel Universe. So, very exciting stuff.
Plenty to look forward to.
Indeed. I mentioned last week also that I was going to have some news about MomoCon. I am going to be at MomoCon this year. It is the same weekend as TimeGate, which I will also be attending. And so that's going to be a little bit tricky, but Darius Washington has graciously put me on some panels that it looks like will not conflict at all with what I have going on at TimeGate. So on Thursday, I think it is Thursday at 5:30, I believe, is going to be a show about DC TV, so I will get to go on and goob about Legends of Tomorrow and Flash and all that good stuff. So that will be fun. On Saturday at, I want to say 1 a.m., I don't have the the actual times in front of me, but it's late Saturday at any rate. We're going to have Marvel After Dark, and MomoCon is a very family-friendly convention, but we wanted to have a panel where we can talk about Daredevil and Jessica Jones and things like that. So if you are down at MomoCon, please do stop by for that, because we hate talking to an empty room.
And it's interesting that you talk about like having to do it after dark, because I was talking with a friend of mine, and I was telling her I was watching Daredevil, and she's like, my students have been going on and on about that, and she teaches high school, so it's not
high school is fine.
Like,
yeah,
they're not like elementary or middle school students, but it's like, you know, a little bit older than that, and I had to kind of pause for a second. I'm like, would I really let my teenagers watch this show?
I mean, I think that obviously it depends on the kid, but you know, it's sort of like with Deadpool. You know, there's stuff in Deadpool that, you know, I'm not a parent, but I'm guessing you probably wouldn't want your 8-year-old to go in here. On the other hand, your 15-year-old, 16-year-old, I mean, I don't.
Yeah, they might be a little bit better about it.
Yeah, exactly. So so yeah, I would say not for little kids, but definitely something that later teenagers could certainly check out.
I will not be at MomoCon myself or TimeGate this year, which is really kind of disappointing to me, because they got the news that Paul McGann's going to go.
Yes, to TimeGate.
And I need my Light at the End audio signed by him.
Well, it's possible that if you send that down to me, I might be able to get it signed for you. I'm just saying.
I might send it to you. There's like, I know a number of people going, any one of y'all that can help me is grateful. I instead am going to go to MegaCon, and my friend Tabby and I are going to get our pictures taken with Haley Atwell.
Oh, I'm not jealous or anything. Oh my God, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and I've got most everything I need ready for the agent, or the season two
Jarvis.
Agent Carter Jarvis outfit, where I've got my knit periwinkle tie, as well as a stuffed Bernese Mountain Dog to carry with me.
Excellent, excellent.
So if you're at MegaCon and you see a guy carrying around a stuffed dog who looks like Jarvis, and you're especially if you're dressed as Anna, come up and say hi.
Very cool, very cool. That's awesome. Yeah, and my final panel is going to be, and they're putting it kind of. They're putting all my panels at inconvenient times for people, but I hope that people stick around. It's going to be, I think, the last panel of the convention at 4:00 on Sunday, and that's going to be our MCU panel. So anyway, I'll be posting all this stuff up on the Facebook group and whatnot, so hopefully I will get to meet some of you guys there, because that would be awesome. All right, cool. Well, I guess that is going to do us for this week. We will be back next week with another episode of ESMCU to talk about more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Woohoo!
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.